Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
To Moon or Bust, your home for all things crypto here at Benzinga. My name is Logan Ross, and we've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking about the markets, which are up big time. We're going to be talking about soul-bound tokens. One of my good friends, Noah, is doing some research on them right now. He's going to be joining us to tell us all about them. So make sure you stay tuned. We're going to have some huge alpha coming up for you. Once again, this is Moon or Bust. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe to the channel if you're not already. But without further ado, I'm going to roll the intro, and I'll see you shortly. And we are back with Noah McGuire. Noah, thank you so much for hopping on last minute today. We've got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. But first, I want to hear about you, your background in crypto, and what are the other things that you study? How do you blend these worlds together?
Hey, right on. Well, thank you for having me. So my background in crypto is rooted in, funny enough, like old school MMORPG gaming, like learning about online digital economies through that lens really opened the door. And then once I found out about Bitcoin in mid-high school, I got on the Ethereum train, learned about oracles, learned about these smart contracts, and I really got addicted pretty much. Right now, I study computer science and cognitive science, so I'm all about these kinds of system thinking, oriented problems, and really just getting down to the root of how we can do different kind of incentive and game design to make economies work different.
That's super cool. I know we've been talking about soulbound tokens. Soulbound tokens are a pretty new thing to be theorized in the Ethereum community. But what does it mean to bind your soul to an Ethereum token?
Right. So right now, the way it looks is that you don't have much of a choice. If you are to be a recipient of a soulbound token, you're interacting with some sort of issuer. So the issuer could be like an event space or an NFT club. Like if you went to Amsterdam in 2022, the issuer would be some council with Ethereum Amsterdam, and they would assign you a reputational sort of like credential, almost like a POAP, to your soul, your account on Ethereum. And from that, you would be able to use that as a sort of resume or CV to interact with other systems and say, hey, I went to this thing, I interacted with it in some kind of unique way. Here's proof of that, and you can build some things off of that.
So it's less about binding your soul and more about reputation and non-transferability, I think, is a big key as well. So with typical NFTs, you can send them to your friends, you can trade them, you can buy them. But with these soulbound tokens, they're non-transferable, right?
That's right. Yeah. What the aim of soulbound tokens really is to do is to bring sort of like the human soul into Web3. So we don't want, and it seems like the larger Ethereum community doesn't want people to be able to just purchase up and buy up a variety of credential tokens so that they can get into certain access events when they haven't duly owned it or rightfully earned it. So, yeah.
So I can kind of think a Web2 example of this might be like LinkedIn endorsements, right? And those are non-transferable. You need to have, your own account to give somebody a reputation credit. And those are all public, but blockchain can take this to another level and make it scale a lot more simply. But that is if we can index the blockchain correctly, if we can make these soulbound tokens efficient enough to really deliver that reputation without too much of a hassle. So what has to really go into this to scale this system to make soulbound tokens useful? And what are you working on in the space specifically?
Right. So I'll address the first part of the question first. That being, what do we really need to do to make soulbound tokens really useful, sort of widespread and effective? There are a few use cases that were proposed in the paper by Buterin and I forget the second author, but in the Finding Web3 Soul paper, they propose different kinds of governance. So doing quadratic governance based on these soulbound tokens, based on these demographic sets to better fund projects on Gitcoin, to avoid cyber attacks on Gitcoin using different correlation scores for whether or not a person has had a soulbound token for a long enough time or whether or not they're a part of a larger set of soulbound tokens that allows you to say, okay, you're a legitimate member of some community. Others include just decomposing property rights into sort of unitary form. I think one of the most exciting parts of the soulbound token like research is the idea that of doing airdrops based on soulbound tokens. So at present, you could do an airdrop based on just an arbitrary address list. However, with soulbound tokens, if you get everyone that went to some events or participated in some hackathon into some list, and based on their qualities and based on the soulbound tokens that they earned through that event and even previous events, you can create a very customized airdrop for that community itself. So it gives you a really good look into the sort of human side of Web3 to really see who the developers are, who the people that are interacting with that community are, what are the sort of cultural and social aspects of their like address on Ethereum that makes them human, that makes them a part of the community. And then integrating different means of governance and different means of just unique property rights and NFT rights based on that.
Could this be proof of individualism or, proof of ownership, like connected or tied to a human instead of just an anonymous wallet address? Because a lot of the fundamentals of crypto or of Ethereum would be like, hey, you could do all this anonymously. But in reality, the whole thing is public. So anybody who can follow the little trail, follow the cookie crumbs, can maybe figure out what's actually going on. And so because of this, we've had a lot of people who have doxed their wallets. They've, said, hey, this is my address. We have Ethereum name service, which people are tying their actual names to their wallets. But this can kind of take it to another level, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you have a widespread like use of soulbound tokens to define some group of people that work on Ethereum or really any kind of on-chain system, then you have a pretty direct means of looking into their very human, very intricate lives. And from that, there is a kind of extractive potential. You could use it as a panopticon and say, okay, based on the credit history or the work history of your group and of you, we're going to deny or allow some sort of access right. And of course, that's the crux of the entire soulbound token paradigm, but there is the possibility of it turning into a sort of panopticon. And the worry there is that systems that are sort of native to Web2, where these larger companies own your information, the worry there is that that sort of game and that sort of interaction between larger data providers and the individual themselves is that with soulbound tokens, there will be a better means, a more precise means of identifying different groups, their activities and their behaviors, and then determining some sort of affect function to, further extract information and value from that group, or to predict systems based off of those peoples and their souls.
One of the interesting things that you just mentioned was credit systems. This is very generally a system for crediting people with different skills, but also it could be a more traditional credit system like a credit score that's used for lending. We have a huge lending market in crypto right now, but it is all over collateralized. Are Soulbound tokens the key to enabling under collateralized loans on blockchain?
They very well could be. If you wanted to integrate Soulbound tokens into a DAO, and based on a certain grouping of accounts that had a certain subset of Soulbound tokens, say that we went to XYZ events and we know each other in real life, we can then set up our own individual pools on a DeFi protocol. And based on the composition of Soulbound tokens, we can use less collateralized loans, even with people that are developers from halfway around the world that we might not necessarily know, but know they've gone to these certain events and have a certain skin in the game of a different protocol or of a different ecosystem. And based on the sort of credentials that those Soulbound tokens denote, you can say, okay, we'll give you a better deal on this lending protocol, or we'll facilitate some kind of transaction that, that gives you a sort of benefit of the doubt and the in how much you have to collateralize.
Is this a trust system for a trustless blockchain?
It's maybe it's a way of representing trust, of representing, because really trust is very much, it's social, right? It's whether or not you can see another person and identify with some part of their person enough to say, okay, I can trust you to do something. And SBTs are a pretty great representation of that. You can trust a developer to develop something if they have the credentials to do so. LinkedIn is as you said, is a great example of that, as is every part of the current workforce. You have to have a pretty extensive resume. You have to be able to do the thing that you can do, that you are trying to do. So yes, these SBTs are a sort of means of bringing trust onto a trustless system to say, okay, we don't need purely protocol in order to engage with one another as communities living on protocol.
Interesting. So you are considering doing some research or working on a project in the SBT space. Could you maybe break that down for us?
Right. Yeah. It's really just in the earliest stages. We're just doing it as a sort of summer project with the club. And it's the crux of it is that we want to create a taxonomy, a sort of framework to view SBT-like systems. So any sort of social credit or credentialing system on a blockchain, we want to create a lens for that so that when developed, these sorts of SBT systems can have a consistent lexicon for how they're described. And from that consistent lexicon, we can derive a sort of qualitative framework to measure and analyze the movement of resources given these different governance mechanisms and incentive design mechanisms made possible by Soulbound tokens.
Is being early to important Soulbound systems important, or could it be?
Oh, it really well could be. I mean, proof is in the pudding for how valuable credit-based systems are. There's already been so much work done in every country in the world that has any sort of credit-based system. In America, the insurance system is greatly reliant on AI and machine learning. It's only becoming more advanced to perfectly predict how much one person should be able to be covered based on their history of credits based on their person. And if you want to get into the larger, maybe more panoptic level, you have China with their social credit score system. And I think there's a place for them in almost every company, almost every DAO, almost every organization. And they don't have to look purely extractive. They can be means of creating positive sum games for employees, positive sum games for communities to engage with a certain kind of culture, with a certain kind of set of practices that's beneficial in the long run.
What are the biggest use cases of Soulbound tokens that have been launched so far?
Gosh, I really am not sure if any Soulbound tokens have been launched properly yet. As in the paper, they mentioned airdrops. They mentioned pretty much education credentials. I'm almost certain that there has to be some kind of work being done on the smart contract research forum, thinking about a way to bridge all the current POAPs from all these different Ethereum events into a frame that enables like a soul boundedness. So either reissuing current credential NFTs or developing a system where you won't have to reissue and instead those POAPs and other NFTs that represent credentials will be able to just be used as soulbound tokens. So
Interesting. So we could have a lot of our current NFTs become sort of soulbound reputation tokens.
It could be. I mean, any sort of NFT that you have now is a bundle of metadata that represents that you were somewhere interacting somehow with something. And even if you just bought a picture on the internet, it's a representation enough that you were in a social space and a part of a network that enabled you to buy that thing. So if you wanted to go on Discord, or if a mod on Discord wanted to scrape the Discord information and say, okay, this person's been posting with us and then has their own NFT of the project that we work on, they can combine that into some kind of soulbound token to say, okay, this person is like X level of member into this community and therefore has access to X degree of airdrop or X degree of reputation once we open ourselves up to governance.
Interesting. And maybe if we could do a high level overview of what governance is and how it's useful, particularly for DAOs, and we can kind of shift our conversation into DAOs through that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So when we talk about governance and blockchain, we're really talking about getting a bunch of people together and signing a transaction or agreeing to sign a certain transaction or agreeing on how to govern the DAO or collection of individuals themselves. What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about like the sort of how votes get done or how different kind of voting mechanisms, or what should we do?
So let me pose this as a question is,
sure,
what governance tokens, I guess governance tokens generally are just a token that gives you a voting credit, but how could soulbound tokens be used to more accurately and efficiently govern a system, perhaps giving certain soulbound tokens more voting rights or less voting rights or the ability to earn voting rights?
Right. I mean, those three ideas, being able to earn and the sort of fractional or variable degree or weight of different ownership tokens, soulbound tokens in a governance system, that pretty much encompasses how they can be integrated. If you have some very core side of the protocol, like I say protocol as though it's the only thing that can be governed, or a DAO or a different off-chain organization, if you want to use soulbound tokens to govern the core functionality of your organization, you're going to want people that have soul-based credentials that are in line with either the most core aims of the organization or have enough weight in the external aspects of the organization, like have been with the organization for a long enough time that their accumulation of soulbound tokens of a lesser degree gives them enough weight to say that, okay, based on my experience, the way that you're changing the protocol or the core function and design of your organization is going to be antithetical to what you've been doing and how we've been doing things. So this weighting thing, you have this sort of centrality idea. You have these two attractors for an organization, the sort of static side of things and the dynamic side of things. If you want to take like a protocol, for example, you could say the cryptographic consensus is very much so static for how, I mean, it can be updated through, you know, the consensus mechanisms that are in place, but it is one of the more static things. So people that are going to be voting on how a cryptographic protocol changes and is updated, those people would have souls that are cryptographically oriented. They're either perhaps in degrees from genuine colleges, different token engineering credentials, different experiences. And based on those experiences, you can subgroup those people into working groups that best fit their mode of experience and their mode of work. On the other side of that spectrum, you have more dynamic sides of the organization, and the SBTs of those realms would look something more like how well you can engage people, maybe working groups for very small scale problems. And so SBTs that would denote like hierarchical leadership in those more dynamic groups would be something like problem solving, team communication, and other sort of fast and loose kind of representations of credential. Yeah, yeah.
So do you see, and this is a question I don't think I know the answer to, is Are these soulbound tokens going to be an ERC standard, or are we going to see a bunch of different soulbound token issuers pop up?
Right. I get the feeling they're going to attempt to do an ERC standard. I think that would make the most sense if they're going to be integrated in all layers of Ethereum, then probably an ERC standard is the way to go. I haven't been up to date with whether or not one is being cooked up right now. I believe they do mention in the paper though that an ERC standard is probably the way to go.
Very interesting. And I'm just going to pull up this paper that we keep referencing so that we can take a look at it here. All right. How does that look?
Great.
All right, cool. So here we have Soulbound by Vitalik. This came out January 26th. Is this the post that you're referring to, or is there a different?
There's paper? If you go on Google Scholar or something like that, if you look up Decentralized Society, it's like a full-blown, like maybe 20, 25-page paper. It has a good appendix for how these different sort of governance things could be enacted. Really, really fleshes out the idea of plural goods and soulbound property rights. Yep, that's the one.
All right. I'm going to drop a link to this in the chat. We don't have time to go over all 26 pages today, but we can maybe look at Vitalik's blog post. This is interesting. So it was by Vitalik and Glenn Weil. This dude wrote a book that I really like called Radical Markets. It was actually one that Vitalik recommended. It was the reason that I ended up buying it and reading it. Basically, this book is about, you know, shifting entire governments over to blockchain systems and some real deep research on what taxes could look like, what voting could look like on blockchain based systems. If this is something that's interesting to you, definitely check it out. Glenn Weil, same guy that wrote this one. Maybe there'll be a sequel coming out. We also had Vitalik announce that he's writing a book called Proof of Stake. Did you see it about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just the whole shtick about how Ethereum was developed and the making in philosophy. Yeah.
Philosophy of blockchains. We've talked a bit about the philosophy of blockchains. What, from a high level, why is philosophy even a topic when it comes to blockchain? And what does the end game look like here?
Yeah, right. Man, why is philosophy important? It's like, that's a deep, I can get metaphysical in that. And man, I don't know how to go.
How does philosophy apply to blockchain? I mean, we have governance systems that are making decisions that affect other people, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the situations we've seen arise in the history of Ethereum where there have been intense philosophical debates surrounding it?
Man. I guess one option would be like the DAO hack, right?
That's what I was going to go to.
Yeah, right. Because you had people that were saying, okay, we fork it and we just go hard left and say, okay, different split, everybody gets their money back. Or we do the other thing and just let it be as it is. Excuse me. Let it be as it is. So there are different thoughts concerning the degree of decentralization and the degree of trust. I think really that is what encompasses the importance of philosophy for blockchain is, what arguments do we have for the degree of trust in these kinds of systems that we're using to disintermediate that kind of trust? If we want to ascribe to a philosophy that can put more faith, let's say, in the systems that we're relying on for information, for really sort of oracle systems, I should say, the philosophy, if it's more lax, will maybe take a more centralized route to getting that information on chain. And the opposite holds true if you hold a more decentralized and sort of philosophy. And of course, it'll vary as you get into different modes of how you govern, how you do incentive design. Sometimes there is a place for centralization on chain.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that there is definitely a place for centralization on chain. I mean, if products need to be developed, you need a centralized team developing them. Decentralization is, I think, commonly mistaken as the first step of blockchain applications when often it should be the last. Otherwise, it's just too difficult to make things go. One philosophical topic I would like to chat about for a little bit is the idea of quadratic voting. So for those in the audience who are unfamiliar with quadratic voting, basically imagine a world or a system where you are assigned to your wallet or to your Soulbound token, perhaps 1 or 10 voting credits each year. We'll just go with 10 for the sake of example. And you can use those voting credits on the presidential election or on an individual topic discussion, perhaps gun control, right? I think we just got demonetized shit. So you can, in this quadratic voting system, you can both vote for and against policies. This way, theoretically, the least hated outcome will always win. But what makes this even more interesting is that you can place one vote, and that will cost 1 voting credit. If you want to place a second vote on the same topic, you can, but it will cost the square. So your second vote costs 4 credits. Your third vote costs 9 credits. So you could drop all three of your vote or all 10 of your credits on one specific issue. You could save them up over time. You can do all sorts of crazy different things in a world where this is the case. But the idea of quadratic voting is to take the power away from people who use exorbitant amounts of money to buy huge amounts of voting power. This would effectively take the square root of your capital and make that the limit on your voting capabilities. Did I explain that well, Noah?
No, yeah, that hits on the head.
You said what?
Hits it right on the head. That's dead on.
Okay, perfect. So where do you see quadratic voting coming into play in the real world? Is there some type of, we have quadratic voting systems for DAOs, but do you see them ever being used by a real government?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely could. In the next few years, I don't doubt that central bank digital currencies begin to take the world stage, and the use of them and the application of them in a certain jurisdiction. I'm sure some countries that are more progressive concerning crypto assets, they'll begin to take on a sort of sandbox regulatory approach. And with that, I think they're going to try implementing these sort of quadratic funding mechanisms in their higher levels of government and eventually even down to the public scale. So allowing people to vote with a certain sort of like central bank token on these public goods, using quadratic funding so that the lowest dregs of society can say, hey, we'd like to see something get serviced. So that generally you have more of a bottom-up sort of system of governance, or at least in decision-making for public goods.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Yeah, I think that could be a very dramatic shift for society to when you have the control, when you have way more control of what you are voting on and how your votes are used, I would feel personally that my vote was worth more if I was trusted to, use it in a more efficient and, elaborate system, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the University of Michigan, where we both went, where we connected, and where we're building a few products. One of those is the MDAO, but the other one is Wolverine Blockchain, which you are now taking over this year. I just want to hear from your perspective, how do you see the interest in crypto and blockchain on campus?
Oh, man. I think it's almost a household sort of topic at this point. It's gone through multiple cycles of hype and sensationalism, but what's left from that is that a bunch of smart people just decided to do some research on their own. And even if they've only looked into the buzzwords, the buzz generally that's growing in the population is coming onto the campuses, and these kids that are coming out of high school and the kids that are here on campus already are becoming more and more interested in the way that their domain intersects with the world of blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
Triple entry accounting and these sorts of accounting systems are applicable in almost every domain where you have to manage trust or you have to disintermediate trust. So people are going to start realizing, and they have already been realizing, that really everything that they're doing can intersect with blockchain in one way or another. So I think the interest is growing for sure.
Yeah, I think that it's taking time. Obviously, it takes time for people to realize that all these other industries do have an intersection with blockchain. I think that's one of the things that we both found interesting about blockchain to begin with, is that the more you read, the more you realize that it does lie in the middle of everything. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's core to how we organize ourselves, and that's pretty much everything, right?
Yeah, if you could speak more to how this could potentially be realized as the center of everything. Obviously, there's governance, there's philosophy, there's economics, there's mm-hmm. computer science, there's even medicine, right? We can find a way to have blockchain intersect in the middle of all these circles. You think that actually, I'm going to change my question. Is there anything that blockchain doesn't intersect?
Oh man, touching grass, that's about it. And even that, you can tokenize grass, right? You can tokenize access to grass. It's that'd be dystopic, but it's hard to say. Funny. It's hard to say if anything really can't be touched by blockchain, because everything you see in front of you right now, everything you see behind me, had a supply chain and a very complex administrative system went into the production of that and getting it into my own home, and the other million mm-hmm. steps that came that were in between that. And blockchain makes all of those processes, every single iota of administration and supply chain, it makes it more efficient, more transparent, totally immutable, just hyper efficient. So really everything that is produced that wasn't made by hand by an artisan can be brought into a world that's ran by blockchain.
It's fascinating. And even that, I don't know. No, I want to open it up to you. Are there any particular topics of discussion that have been interesting you lately? Any questions you have for me in our last few minutes before you have to run?
Yeah, right on. Gosh, I guess just more on the SBTs. I've been thinking, and this is sort of the crux of the project that we're working on this summer, is just trying to get down to the root of everything, and then making sure that the root of everything is not constructed in a way that makes zero-sum, sort of conflict-oriented and like almost slavery-oriented, like debt slavery or information slavery-oriented games a possibility. So I'm really just trying to get down to the root of how we make sure that these soulbound tokens and these complex representations of humanity on-chain are totally sovereign, making sure that they're totally sovereign while being able to derive all of the value from seeing how those complex systems interact with one another. Particularly, I'm excited about agent-based modeling for different DAOs, this and that. Really, we can touch on a variety of these things. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I'll leave it up to you. What is right, agent-based modeling?
Yeah, right. So agent-based modeling is like, it's a field of, I guess you could call it mathematics or physics, but it's like basically coding. Are you familiar with Conway's Game of Life?
Like the board game?
Not the board game. Okay, like cellular autonomous. It's like if you have a chessboard and a checkerboard, and the way that these squares go black or white is determined by the interaction of squares around them. You can get these really complex shapes going on that self-replicate and go in these different patterns. But
so talking about infinite tilings?
Kind of. Not quite a tessellation, but it's like these it's like basically coding ants, if you wanted to code an ant colony and simulate that, each ant is an agent, and simulation of that would be a pretty solid example of agent-based modeling. So doing that with these kinds of systems like that are enabled by social credit systems, you could really get an idea, a predictive model for how people act and how people behave when they're interacting with these different incentive systems. I guess my concern with that is the capacity for, powers that have a higher sort of scope or more resources to view all of the different dynamics of these organizations to really get a better idea of the behavior of these different organizations without necessarily having to put forth any stake or allow their orientation to be represented by the people whose behavior they're extracting. So getting the data sovereignty side of this down is important to me, and making sure that these different communities whose behavior is being represented and measured in some way by these social credit systems making sure that those are properly shielded, or at least properly, I shouldn't say properly because properly is a bit of a misnomer, but the making sure that those communities have full access over what right. other communities and what other organizations can see their like agentic behavior. So agent-based model. Yeah,
and it, like if I could maybe break that down a little bit for the audience, it's like we wouldn't want Google to just go look at all the data of all the Soulbound tokens and all the credit that people have, you know, developed on these systems. We wouldn't want Google to just go take all that data and monetize the shit out of it, right? At least without the community having their own incentive in place. So that's a fascinating topic, and maybe you'll have to come back on another time and we can get into it a little bit more, especially once you've got some more of this research paper going. But no, I know you have to run. Thank you so much for stopping by today. Where can the audience go to connect with you and follow along with the work that you're up to?
Right. So my Twitter handle is FireMcGuireJ. And if you want to follow the Wolverine blockchain account, it is WolverineDLT on Twitter. So yeah, awesome. If you follow the Wolverine blockchain account, we are going to be uploading some informative series once we get a rebrand done throughout this summer. And yeah, more to come. We've got a Notion page. If any of you go to the University of Michigan and are interested in joining, please hit us up. Same thing if you're a business or some blockchain oriented organization and would like to do sponsorship or partnership, general education things, you can take a look at us on Notion, which you can find on the Twitter. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Noah.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. I'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
All righty, guys. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I thought it was really interesting, and a lot of it was over my head. I'll have to do some more research on these Soulbound tokens. But drop a comment down below if you want us to talk about those more in the future. But we do have the markets to talk about, which are ripping. We have ETH up over 11% today. I'm about to share my screen and we'll get into it for a little bit. I want to make a call out real quick, is if you are trading with fees, you have to stop. Just make an FTX US account, link in the description, top link below, make an FTX US account and stop wasting money on trading fees when you really don't need to at all. All right, here we have Ethereum paired against the US dollar, and it is currently worth $1,476 for one single Ether. Can you believe it? Drop a comment down below and let me know. What coins are you looking at this week? Is it just Ether? Is it just Bitcoin? And particularly, the big question I have is, what do you make of the Bitcoin Ether pair right now? We've seen Ether on an absolute tear, and Bitcoin is not up to much. Bitcoin is at $21,898, not up as much as Ether has. Maybe this is something to do with the merge, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts below. I'm going to pull up the Bitcoin ETH chart, and I'm just going to let the Jeopardy music play in my head while you guys have a chance to comment down below. All right, we're approaching this bull market support band, which I think is interesting. This could be a signal that Bitcoin is about to take off in comparison to Ether, but it could also mean a lot of other things. So I'm going to zoom out to the daily candles so we can get a little bit more perspective on this pair here. And I guess this is the spooky swap exchange, which is probably not the way to go. Let's see. BTC Ether pair on Binance. Boom. This will be a little bit better, hopefully. Please. Thank you. Okay. Here we go. Bitcoin paired over ETH Bitcoin. What the heck? This is a confusing chart, man. Let's just try to do a BTC ETH or ETH over BTC. CryptoCap trading view. All right, cool. Here we go. This looks about right. So we have ETH absolutely ripping against Bitcoin. We've been in kind of this channel here for a while. I'll put some lines down. And then I'm going to check the comments in just a second. All right. No comments? Guys, drop a comment. I'm sitting up here alone because Ryan's doing class. I need y'all to help me out here, okay? We have the markets moving for the first time in crypto in 8 months. And there's no comments? Jesus. Jesus is much needed in our society today. Okay, so we see it hitting this bull market support band. We've seen it go over. We've seen it get rejected by it. But right now it's sitting there. So this is definitely a moment of, this is an important moment. It could be, we could take off here. We could get rejected by this line. This is a combination of the 20-week EMA and the 21-week SMA. Might be flipped on those two. But regardless, this has been an important metric for most cryptocurrencies throughout their entire lifespans. We see, we know a lot of us thought that the ETH was about to flip Bitcoin when it passed this the 0.5 mark. But clearly that didn't happen. That was December. That was the start of this downfall that we've been in for the last 8 months, where Ether has bled against Bitcoin the entire time until now. Until now, this is quite a significant movement, and it's something that I am paying attention to for sure. I'll pull up CoinMarketCap so we can take a look at the coins you guys want to today. Still in 1 year winter. Nobody cares about the coins. It's okay. I don't blame you, Aaron. All right, Matic. Before we look at Matic, another good point. Not trusting any rallies until we get a bit further into the bear market. I think that's wise. But I also can't help but get a little bit excited when we have a plus 10%. All right. CQED wants to look at Matic. I'm a large Matic bull. Personally, I have a big Matic position. So this is not financial advice. This is just my opinion. And obviously, I'm going to be bullish. Holy shit, we're up 22% on the day for Matic at 91 cents. This coin is ripping. Let's zoom out. We saw Disney partner with Matic just last week. That was huge news. I think that's maybe right around here. But over the last day, we've seen a huge spike in Matic from 75 cents to 95 cents. John, I hope you hear me. Matic is at 95 cents. We're going to be rich. But yeah, Matic is a layer two scaling solution for Ethereum. They announced the launch of their new Hermes blockchain. We talked about that a little bit on Friday's show, so go check that out if you haven't seen it yet. Right on the Benzinga channel, which I know you're already subscribed to, but make sure you are if you aren't. But we have a Moon or Bust playlist where you can see all the episodes. We talked about this on Friday's episode. We'll see if we can get an update today. It looks like it's going to be coming out sooner than later. Let's click on this Learn More button and see what it says. Open source. I don't have to create an account. It's blockchain. More than 90% transfer cost reduction compared to the Ethereum mainnet. So this blockchain here is a layer two scalability solution for Ethereum. Basically, the idea is, you know, so say this is Ethereum right here, the top of my laptop, right? It can only process so many transactions. But imagine we have another network right above it, boom, right there. And we have a bunch of transactions. This network on top is a bit more scalable, a bit more open, so a lot of more transactions can go through it. You take those transactions, you bundle them up, you shrink the data, and then boom, you submit it back to the mainnet. That's how a rollup works. This is a zero knowledge rollup, which is a specific kind of cryptography they're using to batch these transactions and shrink the data when they submit it back to the mainnet. That way you can do what it says here, 90% transfer cost reduction. It will make these transfers, these interactions on chain, 90% cheaper than they would be on the Ethereum mainnet. This might be one of the reasons that Polygon is ripping today. This blockchain will also use the Matic token that is native to the current sidechain of Polygon, which I know you guys are familiar with already. But let's just check it out. Polygon.technology. I want Polygon.wallet. I think that's the one. Hopefully I don't get scammed here. All right. Polygon wallet.polygon.technology. Here we go. So we can see the bridge to Polygon. If you want to send your stuff over to the Polygon network, I'm going to load up a wallet right here and connect it to the website. I'm going to sign all my crypto away. And here we see we can send it to the Polygon chain. This is transfer mode to the proof of stake bridge that they have built here. And we can get into how it works if you guys want. But for the time being, let's go back to price movements. Let's go back to trading. Polygon has a lot of exciting stuff on the horizon. We mentioned that Disney partnership as well, but up 21% on the day. Cannot complain about that one. Polygon deserves to be in the top 10, in my opinion. And it's good to see it getting closer to that mark. Tether is at 99 cents. We're all going to die. USDC's at 99 cents. What's going on, guys? Stop depegging. At least Binance US dollar is at $1 still, as it should be in the name. Ripple's at 35 cents, up 10% on the week. Solana up 14% on the week, up 5% today. Matic is up 55% on the 7-day. I am glad I've been bag holding this one. I sold some of my Ether positions, but I refuse to let go of my Matic. I'm too bullish on scaling and zero-knowledge scaling solutions and the partnerships that Polygon has to let this one go from my portfolio. I'm going to check the comments one more time. Nibble, if your time horizon is 10 plus years, of course. Yes. Always DCA. You never want to throw your entire bag at a position at once. It's just not wise. DCA means dollar cost average. It means spread out your buys, you can set automatic weekly recurring buys or sells and then just forget about it. That is definitely the safest and lowest risk way to go when you're playing in crypto. Obviously, crypto is high risk at all times, but that's probably why you're watching the show. If it is, smash the like button, let us know, and make sure you sign up for an FTX account to save on those trading fees while you're down there. This is the time to watch who is surviving and getting attention. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Aaron. This is definitely the time where, you know, we separate from the busters from the Charlie Browns. We're going to find out who is here to stay and who will be shaken out. Interesting, we have AVAX up 23% today. I thought we would kind of see that alternative layer one narrative die down a little bit. Maybe they pivoted to the layer two network. You know, these guys are good at riding the hype train. And they're also just cool people in general. We've had John Woo from Avalanche on before, so if you want to learn more about that blockchain, make sure you head over to the Moon or Bust playlist, where you can see that interview and a bunch of other ones, including ones with Shiba Inu. No Uniswap interview yet. That's one we got to get on the list. If anybody has a connection at Uniswap, make sure to plug us in. We'd love to talk to Hayden or any of those guys over there. FTX token doing great, up 12% on the week. That will also give you some perks on their platform once you sign up for no fee trading. Let's see what else is moving. Ethereum Classic up 50% on the week. That is classic. Let's see. Algorand up 15% on the week. What else is moving? ApeCoin up 25% on the week. Thank goodness. Aave up 22% on the week. Quant up 30% on the week. I'm not used to seeing all these green numbers here on CoinMarketCap. Honestly, it feels great. It's been 8 months, and it's about damn time. Curve up 31%. Loopring up 7%. Arweave up 30%. Lido DAO up 124%. Interesting one. But we are getting into the pretty small market caps at this point. I remember when the top 100... we're all in the billions, but not anymore. Now we have very few projects that have passed that, billion-dollar market cap line, and we're probably going to see a few more fall out before we really see the total crypto market cap start to pick up. We're less than $1 trillion right now, but not by too much. Crypto market cap could go back over $1 trillion pretty soon, but I think that as regulatory clarity comes in, that's going to be the thing that really pushes it over. We need more people with access to blockchain networks. CBDCs could even do this, which, I hate to say, but it is true. And I'll jump back to the comments. Let's see. We have a question from Buglog. How high do you see Matic going in the next 5 years? That's a great question. Let me pull it up one more time so that I can do a little bit more comprehensive look and give you an educated guess. And mind you, this is a guess. So circulating supply of Matic is 80%. That's something that I love to see. That means there is not a whole lot of the token that's going to be issued to be dumped. Max supply is 10 million tokens, and 80% of them are already in circulation. That's a good thing. So let's see. Our current market cap, $7.3 billion for Matic. And I think that within 5 years, we could see Matic, somewhere in the range of Ethereum's current market cap, which is $23 billion. So calculating that, given that, we're going to look at our fully diluted market caps here. I was looking at volume. That's a crazy amount of volume. Wow. Okay, so Let me back up. Market cap of Ether, 180 billion. Market cap of Polygon, 7 billion. So conservatively, what is that, a 3x, 30x? Math is tough. That's a 30x, more or less. And that is maybe where I could see it going. So what would that be per coin? $30. I don't think that's impossible 5 years from now. I think that, you know, my personal price target for Polygon is 10 bucks. I'll be happy if we can get it to 10 bucks. It was at 250 during the peak. Obviously, it fell back down. But it's not out of the question. Okay, $10 Matic is not out of the question at all. $20 Matic 5 years from now, I think that might be a little bit more realistic. I'm going to take back the $30 call. I'm going to go for $20, but we could see, you know, a blow off top somewhere around $30. Nothing is out of the question. And who knows how much a dollar is going to be worth at that point, you know? I don't. All right. Any other coins you guys want me to take a look at today? Otherwise, I might wrap up the show a few minutes early, if that's okay with y'all. I appreciate everybody who hung around throughout the entire episode today. Really appreciate you guys. Zinger Nation, love you guys a whole bunch. Make sure you come back on Friday. We have another show going on. But with that out of the way, I don't see any more comments or requests for new tokens. I'm probably just going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Moon or Bust, your home for all things crypto here at Benzinga. Make sure you drop a like if you haven't yet and subscribe to the channel if you're not already. As always, follow me on Twitter. I'll drop my profile real quick. If you haven't connected with me there, you most definitely should. Shoot me a DM if you're a frequent viewer of the show. I'd love to get in touch and maybe set up a Zoom call, introduce myself. We're here for Zinger Nation. Thank you, Lord Byron, for tuning in. As always, thank you to Aaron, Brian, Buglog, all the OGs who have been tuning in for years. I see you. I see you and I appreciate you. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so much. Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.